Well, we're in Psalm 92 today, and from the superscription, it's clear that this was a psalm written to be used by the Levites in the temple worship service on the Sabbath day. Although all the psalms have many private applications, this particular psalm was primarily written for public adoration. According to the Talmud, which was an official Jewish interpretation and commentary on the Old Testament, this psalm was sung at the libation of the wine, which accompanied the sacrifice of the first male lamb on the Sabbath day burnt offerings. And that was in accordance with the legal mandates of Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10. This was a psalm for corporate worship. We do not exactly know who the writer was, but whoever he was, he certainly had a high and holy view of God. In fact, whenever any psalm was written for corporate worship, it is guaranteed that it will be a psalm that elevates God and emphasizes his sovereignty. It seems that the primary point is this. When God's people gather for corporate worship, their focus should be totally and completely on God's character and God's work, because this is a good to do in God's estimation. If we were to quiz most who go to church and ask them why they go to a particular church, many of the answers would be varied. Some would say they go to church because this is the church to which I've always gone to. Some would say I go to church because my family and friends go to this church, but some would say I go to church because the music is upbeat and the band is good. But it would be the rare individual who would say, I go to church because I want to learn about God's character and God's work from a careful study of God's word. It's not the majority who think like this, but this psalm does. So before we examine the psalm, it's important to notice the opening words of verse 1. It says, it is good, which is a good thing for this psalm to say. It's a good for people to go to corporate worship, to worship God, and to learn about God. It's a good thing to do. It's never superfluous to go to church to learn about God. It's a valuable thing to do in God's sight. And in this psalm, there are some actions that are called to participate. First of all, it's good to give thanks to God. Look at verse 1 again. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. One of the good things to do in corporate worship is to give thanks to God. Some go to corporate worship totally unthankful. In fact, some don't even want to go to corporate worship. They go because they have to go. But it is good when people are thankful for the privilege of going to worship. And it is good when they go to worship with a heart and mind that are thankful for who God is and all God has done. Now, this pleases God. And it's good to sing praises to God. As we look at the Old Testament, how few talented singers there really were in view of the thousands of people in Israel. For example, in 1 Chronicles 25:7, there were 288 skilled singers. By the time we get to the days of Ezra, the number is down to 200. So music was important to worship, and it also was important that you had people who actually sing these songs. Most churches would agree singing is a good thing to do, but when we carefully examine what's said in these verses, not too many places are actually singing the way that God would classify as good. He doesn't want us singing about shallow things. That's clear from these verses. Singing music is a good thing to do, but the music has got to be focused on singing what is true and theologically accurate about God. Singing is a crucial part of worship. Singing is the music seen in God's nature, and the birds sing, and singing is the music of angels. The angels sing, and singing is the music in heaven. Heaven sings. It's the music of the saints, both Old Testament and New Testament. But we must not ever forget that God wants music. And since that's the case, Satan's going to try to twist it. And the first thing we observe here is that singing was done as something to offer to the Most High God. Singing should always elevate God. It should never elevate man. When we sing, we should realize we are singing to God. He talks about in these next three verses, he says, to declare your steadfast love in the morning, your faithfulness at night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. Because singing was the focus to be on the person of God and the attributes of God. He's the God Most High. He's the God who's loving kindness and mercy. He's a God of faithfulness. He's a God of sovereignty. You've made me glad. And that corporate worship takes place morning and evening. There's a time when this concept of worship was universally held. Most places of worship would think this way. And many times that doesn't seem to be the case. We have one set time and then we're not singing about him or to him anymore. And corporate singing was accompanied by beautiful instruments. These instruments were used to accompany the singing. And that preposition with, these instruments were used to enhance the lyrics. There's a 10-string lute, that was a harp, and there was a lyre. These instruments were never used to draw attention to themselves, but to God. And corporate singing was joyful because it focused on what God had done. And things God has done for us and given to us should make us glad, and we should want to come to worship him morning and evening. But then it is also good to focus on the greatness of God and the deep things of God. Look at verse 5. It says, "How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep." What this tells us is that corporate worship is not shallow, surface-level worship. Study should not be silly, should be serious. We can have a good time, but at some point we have to come to a true understanding of the Word of God, and the doctrines of God require careful thought and very deep study. And that's what exactly Paul said to Timothy, to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Careful thought and study is needed to tap into the deep things of God, and doesn't happen automatically. When people go to corporate worship with the goal of tapping into the deep things of God and the deep thoughts of God, it is considered by God to be a good thing. And then we see that God permits a senseless and stupid man to flourish temporarily for his sovereign purposes. Look at verses 6 and 7. The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. Senseless and stupid people from God's perspective do not understand that the fact that corporate worship is supposed to be about a serious focus on God. Senseless and stupid people think worship should be about them, and now we have taken it to another level by saying it should be about people who don't even know God. Many are promoting the idea that corporate worship should be about focusing on the unbeliever to make them feel good about themselves, but that's not worship. And we see that there's this classification that is there in verse 7. Senseless and stupid people are totally focused on flourishing in this temporal life. Places of so-called worship that promote business seminars and financial seminars and worldly entertainment are leading the way in this stupidity. When we come together, yes, we can talk about these things because this is real life, but we have to come to the acknowledgement that we are there to worship God. These senseless and stupid people think that they are prospering because the numbers appear to be on their side. People involved in this iniquity appear to flourish. But when people go to worship, they need to hear about the truth of what God says, because God is exalted forever. Look at verse 8. "But you, O Lord, are on high forever." Now let's not gloss over that. God is greatly exalted forever. It sits in sharp contrast to verse 7. Foolish men are totally focused on the temporal, and God is the Most High God forever. And many people think that they are so high and mighty, they only strut around for a short time on earth. But we don't stop and think about that sometimes. If you think about the quickness, how fame can leave, and yet the things of God last. Because God will destroy his enemies. Look at verse 9. "For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish, all evildoers shall be scattered. We have to understand that God is in control. God can be trusted. There are uncertain things in this world. The fact is, always certain, God's enemies will perish. Every unbeliever will perish. And when people go to worship services, they need to know this. God is not just a God who will let any person go to heaven. God is a God of wrath. And apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we are enemies of God. But God will also bless righteous and faithful people. Look at verse 10. But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. So God will exalt his people. God will anoint his people. God will allow his people to witness the destruction of their enemies. God will cause his people to flourish. And those who keep their focus on God will become strong like a tree with deep roots. The palm tree stands tall and strong, even in desert areas. And surrounded by dirt and dryness, palm trees grow tall. The cedars of Lebanon were known to be massive, strong trees. And the point of this psalm is that those who stay focused on God and his word will become strong. God will cause corporate worship to flourish. Don't miss this. You become strong and sound and flourish when you go to worship with God's people. And God will allow his people to produce fruit in old age. The truth is, age typically makes things decay, but not for faithful people of God. They become more stable and fruitful. They have more knowledge. They have better character. They develop enduring patience. They have an eternal focus. They're skilled apologists and evangelists. And after promising these blessings, the psalmist says, when people go to corporate worship, they need to totally and completely focus on God. So declare how holy and upright God is. Declare that God is our rock and salvation, and that there is no unrighteousness in him.